Welcome to Hunt Springs Baptist Church. I think we've got everything working this morning. The last few weeks, we've either had the sermon going or the music going, either in both places here and not recording or vice versa. But this Sunday, everything was working a while ago. Amen? So y'all pray for the Holy Spirit to overshadow us and keep everything going. Is this speaker too loud for y'all? Sound okay? We're going to begin this morning by singing happy birthday to Miss Diana. Does anybody else have a birthday this week? Oh, Miss Lori had one week last week. And they point, y'all done got me in trouble with Miss Lori. Anybody else? All right, let's sing.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
Thank y'all. Glad y'all here this morning, and y'all give Brother Kirby a big hand. Thank you. We're glad to have him back anytime, and before long, he's going to return and bring the Bluegrass Friends with him, and we're going to have some Bluegrass gospel music, and I'm excited about that, and I hope y'all are also. I'm glad y'all are here this morning. I just found out, I didn't watch the news this morning, that we had an earthquake this morning in North Carolina. So let's pray for them folks, if anything's going on there. Also pray for the folks digging out of the hurricane and all that's involved in that. And also in Libya, with all the people and the devastation that's there in that country. That country's been through a lot through the years. This morning I was just thinking, as I got up, you know, what we normally hear on the news in the morning, and I just want to read you a news report that I found this morning so that you can realize how blessed we are to be at church. Here's what's going on today in the news. In these last days, difficult times will come. Men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, ungodly, unloving, irresistible, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they've denied its power. Avoid such men. And then Paul tells Timothy, but you followed my teaching, my conduct, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, and my perseverance. But know this, anyone living a godly life will be persecuted. Jesus says, if they persecute you for my name's sake, you are blessed. So this morning, say blessed. Y'all are all blessed to be here in church. Amen? We're blessed to be known as Christians. I've seen more and more this week of how they are trying to deny the Christian faith, how they're trying to remove biblical morals from culture, how they are restricting churches from meeting, threatening to sue pastors. I won't go into details politically about this, but I was looking at three people over the last 2 years that have been bankrupt just because of the morals they're holding to, that they was carried to court for things that they had to defend themselves against until they went bankrupt. And now you see organizations being carried to court. Why? To bankrupt them. They want to dissolve the corporations and take their money. And in doing that, what do? They just bankrupt them. And so either they got to go along to get along, or they ain't going to have enough money to live. Now, we hear about this in Revelation during the Great Tribulation. During the Great Tribulation, we'll have to take the mark of the beast. Well, we won't be here, amen? If y'all saved, how many people saved this morning? Okay, well, y'all won't be here during the Great Tribulation, amen? But Jesus says that we'll know these smaller tribulations through our lifetime. So the things that are the worst they can possibly be during the 7 years of the tribulation, we witness things like that now, and that's one of them. We'll be persecuted, might be hurt financially, morally, might be hurt spiritually, or even physically. But we can take hope that Christ will return, and Christ is going to resurrect the dead, rapture the church, we'll spend eternity with him. That's the good news I have for you this morning. Amen? Mm-hmm. Amen. So let's begin by any prayer requests you have this morning. Anybody have any prayer requests? All right, Ricky. All right. Miss Rhonda Gordon had her surgery. Surgery went well, as could be expected, with pain and things that goes along with that. But then she took a turn for the worse, and they thought it was something maybe she had caught or her husband did. They called the rescue squad, took her, but she had an attack of diverticulitis, but never had diverticulitis. Didn't even know what it was. They thought it was something else, but she's going to be getting out of the hospital at 12 o'clock today. And James wanted to come this morning and be here with us. He said, tell you, hey, Brother Kirby. And but he's on the way up there now to pick her up and bring her home. So remember Miss Rhonda Gordon. Also remember James. He's had two of his cancer treatments, and he's having another one this Friday. So keep them lifted up in your prayers also. Anyone else? Deb, a friend of ours, is suffering from COVID, and I think she's kind of give up or something, too. I mean, she's just so distraught, I guess would be a good word for that. But Deborah Ashburn, and that's Cici that comes here a lot. That's her stepmom. So keep her in your prayers. Bobby is, Miss Diana, I asked Bobby this morning, what kind of party did Miss Diana have? Bobby texted me early this morning and says, I got up, and I'm just too sick to go to church. And I said, okay, brother. But no, Bobby said he's got something going on there, and so we're just praying that he'll get the feeling better. Miss Kendall? Okay, your cousin's cousin has coronavirus. Okay, we'll be praying for them. Okay, anything else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. Good praise for Mr. Jack doing better, adjusting to his new surroundings, and just keep praying for him and his family as they minister her to him, and also to the caregivers that take care of him. Also remember Miss Joyce and Mona, both of them are still dealing with this ear thing. Mona got some medicine that actually started helping the ear after 6 months, but she's allergic to it and she breaks out. But she said she liked scratching better than her ears problem. So keep praying for her. And Miss Joyce, be praying for her, because she has dealt with this ear thing for months also, and this roaring and ringing in her ear. Mr. Clausen, he's got some more tests and things to go talk to the doctor about, so keep him in your prayer. Mr. Fred, they've scheduled him to go to Chapel Hill to talk to a different heart doctor to see if they can change his medicine to help strengthen his heart some without some of the effects of the medicine he's taking now. So we just got a lot going on here, so just keep all of them lifted up in prayer. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. Kind Father, we thank you for this blessed day. We ask now, Lord God, that you would just guide, direct, bless us. Lord, that you would just be with us, just be with Ricky and James as they go through these cancer treatments. Be with Miss Rhonda, Lord, as she gets released from the hospital. Give her an easy transition home. Be with these that have the coronavirus. Also, Lord, I forgot to mention Kevin and his aunt down, and all them down in South Carolina. Lord, you know who they are. You know how the aunt that's 80 caught the virus, and others that have been around are taking care of her, Lord, and they having to be tested. So, Lord, I just pray for all five households down there in South Carolina. Lord, I pray you just be with Kendall's cousin here as she's suffering from this virus, that you would just guide and direct the doctors in what to do next. Also be with Miss Debbie Ashburn, Lord Deborah. Just, Lord, I pray for you to heal her, but lift up her spirits also. Be with Gilbert, Lord, as he's there by himself. Just help his girls take care of him and the boys. Just guide and direct us all this morning. Thank you for Brother Kirby here, Lord. I thank you for everyone that come this morning, that, Lord, your hand was with us, that you awoke us, And Lord, you just purposed in our hearts that we would want to come together and worship you. Lord, we thank you for that this morning. We pray now, Lord, that you would just guide and direct us all. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.
Somewhere just across the Jordan River, there's a place of everlasting joy and peace, where the stream of life is flowing there forever, and a crown.
I thought of that song because I feel I'm in Sanford or Lemon Springs, or I don't know exactly where I'm, Tramway or whatever, but it's good to be in Lee County, and I feel like I'm home almost. It's been a lot of time in this area, and of course that song's about heaven and our eternal home, but it's good as we get older, and I'm working on it, home is special in it. It really is. Home here or our eternal home. Both very, very special. Heard a guy on TV. You know, I come and glad to see these people. And Brother Wesley, I trust there are some people in the parking lot as well, aren't
there? I hope so.
I do too have faith that they are. And I just want to sing and praise the Lord and have a good time this morning. I'm doing the songs that I know. There are other ones out there, but they're not the ones that I know. So pray with me as I attempt to do some songs that I love, and I hope that one or two of them will bless you. Often I stop to think just where I'd be if Jesus came down from that cruel tree. There'd be no hope for man, no peace could be found. Praise God, I'm glad that he didn't come down. He didn't come down. Oh no, he didn't. 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. Picture his mother there with tears in her eyes as they mocked and scorned him and pierced his side. They said, if thou be king, come to the ground. But he prayed, forgive them, and he didn't come down. He didn't come down. And 10,000 angels were camped all around. He could have called them to set him free, but he stayed on the cross for you and for me. He stayed on the cross for you. Heard that song? Some of the songs that I do go back to the 70s when I played piano for a gospel group. This song I love, I just thought it was a great song. I love the song. Heard it the other day and thought I would do it. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There have been times when I felt so all alone, but in my darkest hour, those precious lonely hours, Jesus showed me that I am His own. Through it all, through in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions about tomorrow. There have been times when I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials served to only make me strong. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. To depend on through it all. It's a very timely song, isn't it? I learned this from bluegrass pickers. We spend right much time tuning to. I've never made a fortune. It's probably too late now. Oh, but I don't worry about that much, 'cause I'm happy anyhow. As I go along life's journey, I'm reaping better than I've sowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, Lord. My cup is overflowing. I ain't got a lot of riches. Sometimes the going's rough. But I got a friend in Jesus, and that makes me rich enough. I thank God for all his blessings on me and the mercy he's bestowed. I'm drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. Oh, sure, I've been through some hard times, and there have been times I know when my faith grew a little bit thin. But you know what? All at once, those old dark clouds just seemed to disappear, and that old sun started shining again. So, Lord, help me not to grumble and complain about the tough roads I have hoed. I'm drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. And if I should go on living, if the way gets steep and rough, I won't ask for other blessings. I'm already blessed enough. May I never be too busy, oh Lord, to help another bear his load. Keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. I keep drinking from my saucer, Lord, 'cause my cup is overflowed. My cup is overflowed. Thank you. I'm only human, I'm just a man. Lord, help me believe in what I could be, all that I am. Show me the stairway I have to climb. Lord, for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus. That's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. So for my sake, teach me to take one day at a time. I know you remember when you walked among men. Well, Jesus, you know, as you're looking below, it's worse now than then. There's pushing and shoving, there's violence and crime. Help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. One day at a time, sweet Jesus, that's all I'm asking from you. Just give me the strength to do every day what I have to do. Yesterday's gone, sweet Jesus, and tomorrow may never be mine. Lord, help me today, show me the way, one day at a time. Help me today, show me the way, one day. Song I'll do in this particular part, I want to do a God and country song, our country, the USA, and I did it last time. Somebody like to do the flag, somebody lift that up. We're going to do Lee Greenwood's song that comes from the late 80s, and it's called God Bless the USA, and sing with me. If tomorrow all the things were gone I'd worked for all my life, and I had to start again with just my children and my wife, I'd thank my lucky stars to be living here today, 'cause the flag still stands for freedom and they can take that away. Proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the ones who died and gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. They no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea, from Detroit down to Houston, New York to L.A., there's pride in every American heart. It's time we stand and say, I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the ones who died who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. There ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. An American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the ones who died who gave that right to me. And I gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. Ain't no doubt I love this land. God bless the USA. No, there ain't no doubt I love this land.
Thank y'all again for being here, and might just be my opinion, but that makes it true, amen? America is the greatest nation in this world, and the church is the greatest institution in this world. There's no greater place in the world than the church. I used to hear when I was a little boy, my Uncle Rudy used to say, he used to open every service saying that I'd rather be in church this morning than in the best hospital in North Carolina. And I hope you feel that way. Today, as we look at 1 Thessalonians, we see that Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica. And he's writing to affirm their faith and also to encourage them. To affirm their faith, he's wanting them to know how proud he is of them, of the work that God is doing in their life. If you found 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, say amen. Amen. It says here in verse 1, it says, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy to the church of Thessalonica in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then here's his prayer, or here's his greeting, same greeting I give you today. He says, may the grace and peace of God be with you. He says, grace to you and peace. He's saying that I wish that you would know the wholeness of life. That's what that word peace means. He says, I wish you would know this wholeness, this completeness of life, this calmness of life that you can only have by the grace of God. Because it is the grace of God, the unmerited gift that God gives us, in that while we were yet sinners, separated, spiritually dead from God, that He loved us and sent His Son Jesus Christ, who died for us. And by faith in Jesus' life, death, burial, and resurrection, we're not only forgiven, we're made righteous. We are made right with God. We are at peace with God because what belongs to Christ now belongs to us. That was the exchange at the cross. Dr. Carlton used to say it this way. He said, Jesus Christ come from heaven with all the love of His Father. He climbed on a cross, hung, bowed His head, and exchanged it for grace that we could know the peace of God. And that is what the finished work of the cross of Christ means for us today. We not only can experience the grace of God in forgiveness, but the peace of God. Let us pray. Kind fathers, we come before you this morning. I pray that you would stir our minds, stimulate our thinking, that, Lord, we would start remembering the gift of grace that Christ has brought to us, that we would remember the proof of our salvation, that, Lord, we would know that we are not only loved, but we've been chosen to be instruments, to be used in the mission of Christ. That, Lord, we not only can become examples for others, but others can follow our example, and then they can be example for other people. Lord, I pray that when we leave here today, that, Lord, we'll be renewed our belief in Christ, our commitment to live by the commandments of Christ, and, Lord, you would empower us to share the gospel with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As the church, we should, I preached a couple Sundays ago, verse 1 of chapter 1 here, and I said there that the purpose of this is to affirm and encourage believers, but to do that, we should constantly give thanks for one another. Here, Paul, a lot of times he'll say to the church at Rome or to the church at Colossae, but here, as I told you a few weeks ago, just to bring your memory back, Paul planted this church. Paul, Silvanus, which is also known as Silas, one is his Roman name, one is his Greek name. Silas and Timothy and Paul planted this church. Now, Paul was in Philippi and preaching, and the gospel spreading, and when the gospel spreads and Christ starts getting the glory and the honor that other people want, what happens? It makes people mad. So Paul and Silas, they got put in jail. They got whooped. So what did they do? They broke out the hymn book, Brother Kirby, and they started singing. And one of the jailers hear them singing, and he's like, what are y'all singing about? You know, y'all in trouble here. And they share the gospel. He gets saved. He's like, hey, this is the best news I've ever heard. Have you ever had some real good news and you couldn't wait to tell somebody or to post it on Facebook or to tweet it or whatever you do with it? Huh? This is what he said. My family's got to hear this. So Paul and Silas and Timothy's outside somewhere. Anyway, he goes with them. They go to the jailer's house. They share the gospel, and guess what? Everybody in the house gets saved. Amen. Now, wouldn't that be a blessing that everybody in your family got saved? It would make family reunions and Christmas parties a lot easier, wouldn't it? It would. But so Paul then leaves there. Why? Because persecution. Persecution, when Christians get persecuted, when pressure gets on Christians, it's like toothpaste. What happened? The toothpaste squirts out, right? When you squeeze a Christian, the gospel should come out. And this is what happened to them. They moved on. They made a few stops in Berea and along the way, and they got to Thessalonica. Got there, Paul goes into the synagogue, preaches for 3 weeks. The Jews don't want to hear it. He goes to Jason's house. He preaches, and what happens? People's just getting saved. So everybody gets upset. They're gonna get Paul, Silas, and Timothy again. Instead of doing that, they put Jason and his friends in jail. They make them sign a bond. They had to call the bail bondsman. They had to put up some cash. They like, if y'all keep doing this, you know, you're going to forfeit your bail. So what happened? Paul and them moved on, and they ended up in Corinth. And as they in Corinth, because they had planted this church and been there for several months after them 3 weeks of preaching in the synagogue, Paul just loves this church. And he tells us later in this letter, he says, I couldn't wait any longer. I just had to know how y'all doing. Now, have you ever been thinking about church and church members so much, you like, I just ain't got to talk to them lately? Or bad English, I apologize. I haven't had the opportunity to speak with them lately. That sounds better from the pulpit, right? So you pick up the phone and call and say, I have really missed you. I can remember when people used to mail cards, when people didn't show up to church. You hardly ever see that anymore, but they text or they might call. But this is what Paul says. Hey, I got to know how y'all doing. I haven't seen you. I want to know how your faith's doing. So he sends Timothy to Thessalonica. Timothy talks to everybody. They're doing good. Timothy's happy. They said, but hey, Paul left, and we still got some questions here about how we should live as Christians. And so they write out some questions, and Timothy takes them back to Paul. Paul reads them, and Paul's like, man, I'm happy. They're doing good. Their faith is strong. They're getting persecuted. The Jews don't like them. The Greeks don't like them. The Romans don't like them. He says, but they trusted in Christ. Things is going good. So he writes this letter, and he says, hey, this letter is from who? Me, Silas, and Timothy. Who's writing it? So it's Paul's writing, Paul's idea, but he says, look, guess what? We've been talking about y'all. Now, normally, when you think about the church and people talking about the church, first thing you do is get defensive because you figured they're talking about you, right? But Paul says, no, we're talking about good things about y'all. And he says here, we're writing to the church. Now, get this, of the Thessalonians, not the church in Thessalonica, not the church on 1557 St. Andrew's Church Road. I'm writing to you, all of y'all. If the earthquake had wiped out this building today, the church would still be here. We could gather in the parking lot. We could gather in homes. He says, I'm writing to each of you individually, and I'm praying that the grace and the peace of God be with you. So, he is setting a standard for how we should affirm each other's faith and how we should encourage one another to stand firm in our faith. So here's how we do it. We give thanks. We need to give thanks. How do you give thanks to God? In prayer. He says we give thanks. It's an attitude of gratitude. Hey, I didn't do this. He tells us in a minute. He says, I come preaching, but guess what? It was the power of God that did the work. What did I do? I just brought the message. The message, what the words I said, it was the Holy Spirit taking those words and implanting them in your heart, they took seed, took root, and they grew. And he says, I'm so excited. I want to give thanks to God always. So when are we supposed to give thanks? Always. And he says, for all of you. Who are we supposed to give thanks for? Everybody in the church. You say, well, preacher, some of the people I just don't know about. You know, I really love them, but today I don't like them. Hey, you're supposed to give thanks for them too. Amen? Each person, we have to get to know one another. We do this by carrying on conversations. We do this by looking and see what's going on. He says, I give thanks always for all of you. Now look at the manner. By making or doing something, making mention. This is the idea of remembering something to the point that you want to respond about it. Now, have you ever, I know food is, a lot of people really like food, and I've seen people, they'll eat something and they just grinning and they can't wait to tell somebody how good it was. We went to the Olive Garden the other night on the way home. Mona told me, she says, that's the best meal I've had in a long time. You know, I really enjoyed it. It wasn't heavy. It was just right. She enjoyed it. She liked it. What happened? She brought it to memory enough that she wanted to make a response. Paul says here, I make mention of you in our prayers. I'm remembering you. I'm thinking about you. So what are we supposed to remember about one another? If we're going to pray for one another and encourage one another, give thanks for one another, first thing we ought to be thankful for is the proof of our salvation. Paul says, I give thanks by making mention of you. And then look at verse 3, constantly bearing in mind. That bearing in mind is the idea of bringing it back to memory so that you've taken an action. He says, here's what I'm bearing in mind. Your work of faith, labor of love, and steadfast of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of our God and Father. So here's how this is working out. It is the triad of virtue, of Christian virtue. Jesse, his favorite verse is 1 Corinthians 13:13, where it talks about faith, hope, and love, and of the greatest is love. I've heard him say that with tears in his eyes over and over again. Paul constantly gives you this triad of virtues that we should understand. And he says here, guess what? We got something going on. He says it is faith, hope, and love. And then verse 4, he gives us something else we need to think about here that we can be thankful for, is that God loves you and God chose you. Now, I normally would wait and get down there to verse 4 and preach that, but you got to understand about this work of faith, labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. Guess why you can have faith, love, and hope? Because God loved you and God chose you. There's five things that everybody wants to know. Am I loved? What is my purpose here? Or what am I supposed to be doing? Or you could say it this way. You could say, where's meaning in life? People want to know, am I loved? You know, where do I find meaning in life? They want to know, how come I hurt? I mean, where's the healing? How come if I'm trying hard as I can, why does things hurt me? Why does bad things happen to good people? You could say it that way. Also, where's the peace? I mean, how do I solve these conflicts that I keep having in my life? And then you can also say, where can I find hope in a world that has gone wrong? And the answer to all of them questions is Jesus Christ. Now, there's five worldviews that answer them five questions five different ways. But the Christian worldview says it's answered in God. How do I know I'm loved? God loves me. How do you know God loved you? Because he chose you. How do I know God chose me? Because I'm here this morning. Right? Are you here? Y'all, somebody say, yes, I'm here. Okay? Y'all are here. Hey, I know people all the time. I call and invite them to church, and they're like, I'll come. Well, I know they're not going to come. And I got people all the time, when things are going wrong, they call me and want me to pray for them, and I'll be at church on Sunday. And I said, look, I'll pray for you, and I'm going to pray for the Lord to really help you, but don't worry about coming this Sunday when things is bad. How about next week when God fixes y'all's problem? Come then and show some gratitude. I said, most people, When things is going good, they don't even give God a second thought. That's when we should come together and celebrate what God has done. So God loves you and God has chose you. How do you know? My work of faith. You got the sovereignty of God. That means that God's in control. That means I found Jesus. No, you didn't. Jesus found you. You was lost and in a mess. The Bible lets you see that you needed an answer to your problem, and that answer was Jesus Christ. God chose us. So faith comes from God. But if you've got faith, in other words, the Holy Spirit awakened me, quickened me. John chapter 14, 15, and 16 tells us that the Holy Spirit convicts us of sin and righteousness and judgment. That's another sermon. I can't get into that right now. But what it means is that we are convicted that we're not living life God's way. It means that we are. The Holy Spirit gives us judgment. What is that judgment? Well, I have thought wrongly about Jesus. I've not asked him to help me. And also about righteousness. In other words, I'm going to do good, get dressed up, I'll go to church, I'll sit there in church, everything will be good. Well, guess what? That won't get you in heaven. The righteousness of Christ gets you in heaven. The Holy Spirit lets us see that no matter how hard we try, we are still sinners. But Christ died to forgive us. Now, when God chose us and the Holy Spirit quickened us and we turned to him in faith, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to Jesus about this. Because, I mean, this is a question that theologians have asked through the years. It's a big debate, even in Baptist theology. You know, did I have faith first and then regeneration, or regeneration and then faith? And I think what happened when I said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner and there's nothing else I can do. I have tried everything. Nothing's worked. I've made a mess of my life. I can never fix it. Lord, please just save me. In that moment that I was praying that, the Holy Spirit was guiding me to pray, but the Holy Spirit was also renewing me so that I could stop trusting in Wesley and start trusting in Jesus. Just being saved is the gift of God. Just being able to trust God instead of yourself is one of the greatest gifts we'll ever know, because that's the beginning of our salvation. That's the beginning of our life with Christ Jesus. Paul says, you got a work of faith. So my faith comes from God, but it's my responsibility to put my faith in God after I've heard the gospel. And when my faith in Christ, when I trust in him, what happens? It results in work. What kind of work? I start living life God's way. I've just realized that I've gone off track from God's plan for my life. Now God has forgiven me, turned me around. He set me on the right path. And as I've got my faith in him, or as you've got your faith in him, you'll start working the works that God has prepared beforehand for you to walk in. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Our faith demonstrates work. Also, our love. He says it's a labor of love. Do you know? And I said this last Sunday. To love someone, agape love, the kind of love that God loved us with, it takes labor. This word labor means I done got sweaty. It means my deodorant done run out. It means I've got them white salt rings around me. I've been out hoeing in the garden type of love. If you ever love somebody that's hard to love, that's the kind of love it's talking about. It ain't, oh, she looked good, or he looked good, or we're going to have a good life together. It's the ups and downs, the ins and outs. It's I got the labor. I got the work. That's a labor of love. Paul says, look, I see y'all's faith at work helping brothers and sisters that's being persecuted. You encouraging them. You're helping them. I see your labor of love. And in two chapters, Paul says, now look, I see the way y'all loving one another, but guess what? I want you to excel more. So when you think you're really loving somebody like you're supposed to be loving, guess what? Tomorrow's going to get more difficult. So you got to excel more in that. But he says also there is a steadfastness of hope. When we think about this steadfastness of hope and wait in verse 10, both is the idea of being patient. It's the idea of having or being in a state of confident expectation. In other words, my hope is I know Christ is going to do this. I know Christ is coming back for me. I know Christ is going to help me through this. And the steadfastness, because our hope is in Christ Jesus, our steadfastness means my hope produces endurance. This all makes sense. So if you've got faith, it's going to work. You don't work to get approved by God. You don't work for your faith. You put your faith in Christ, and then Christ works in you, and you start working. Christ loves you. Christ says, if you're my disciples, you'll love one another just as I've loved. If you abide in me, me and my Father will come and make an abode with you. It is the love of Christ working through us that we are able to labor in love for others. Same thing with endurance. Here's hope. Everything goes wrong, and I can hope that Jesus is going to take care of it. You know why a lot of people's not in these pews today? Their hope didn't have endurance. They hope in Christ, but when things start going wrong, they start looking other places to fix their problems. That's nothing new. All through the Old Testament, the Israelites, every time the pressure got on, what'd they do? Hey, call up down there at Pharaoh and see if he'll come help us. Call the Babylonians because the Assyrians is coming. See if we can make a treaty with them. What about today? Call China. We can make more money to make this deal with China. Call another country. You pick your choice. Worldviews. Things are not going our way. Well, if I'm just tolerant, we can all get along. Hey, being tolerant puts you all on the same bus going to hell. Hope means that my hope's still in Christ no matter how bad it gets. What is the worst thing that could happen? You could die. If you die, where are you going? Somebody please say heaven. Heaven. I mean, it took me a long time to understand that. You know how to enjoy hope? This is not as good as it gets. It's only going to get better. So Paul says that we need to remember proof of salvation. How, you know, we always ask this. How do you know that person's saved? Well, is their faith producing work? Do they love one another? Are they laboring in love? You know, a lot of people say they love. A lot of people say that they have faith. And a lot of people say they got hope. But Paul says here that here's how this works. Verse 4, you know that God loves you and he's chosen you. And then he says, here's the reason we know that we're loved by God. We know he's chosen us because we see this proof of our faith. Verse 5 says, because our gospel did not come to you in word only. In other words, Paul says, I preach the truth of the gospel, but it come in power, in the Holy Spirit, and full of conviction. Now, I've got to rush through this, but in power means there's some miracles happening, that there's some power of God happening. What is that? A changed life, a transformed life. When you get saved, God changes your heart. That changes your life, changes your attitude towards God and towards other people. But he says also it is in the Holy Spirit. Now, chapter 16 of John, Jesus tells us that it's to our advantage that he goes away, because when he goes away, he's going to send the paraclete, or the helper, which is the Holy Spirit, and he is going to what? Convict the world of sin, of judgment, of righteousness. He's going to guide you in the things that I've said. He's going to bring to remembrance. He's going to teach you the things to come. The Holy Spirit's going to help you. Now, here's how all this fits together. And here's why we want to pray for one another. A lot of times we pray that we just don't have to deal with somebody else. If we are trying to work our faith, labor in love, and be steadfast in hope on our own without the Holy Spirit, here's what it looks like. We can go to church and sit through church for an hour, 15 minutes if the preacher goes long. And we can sit through church. We can endure it. We can put up with it. We can even give some money, put it in the offering plate. We can even smile at somebody we don't like. And we can be nice, and we can get in the car, and we might even can wait till we get to the stoplight before we start talking about the people at the church, right? And we look good as Christians, don't we? But when the Holy Spirit is working in your life, You can come sit down and not worry about what time it is. You can give your tithe when you don't know how you're going to pay your bills next month because you're out of work. You can love somebody that's hurt you so bad that you don't think you'll ever get over the hurt. But you can say, I know I hurt God that much. And I'm going to show that person that God loves them. See, that kind of love, that kind of faith, and that kind of hope only comes from being saved. Because why? You've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is living in you. And Paul says, I give thanks when I see the proof of your salvation. I give thanks because I know that you are loved, you are chosen. I give thanks because I've seen the power of God's transforming work in your life. This word for church of the Thessalonians is the word I told you before of assembly. In other words, Paul says, I see this work of God in you that God has called y'all out as an assembly that is to impact your community with the gospel of Christ. He says, you've come together. God is using you individually and together. And he says, just as you know what kind of men we prove to be. So I'll get this finished up here. Paul says, your salvation come with conviction. What conviction? As you've seen in us. We should be thankful that we get to be examples for other believers. Did you know that when God saved you, Jesus came from heaven to earth? The song says, from earth to the cross, from the cross to the grave, from the grave back to heaven. Amen? He was on a mission to what? Jesus says in Luke, seek and save that which is lost. Jesus, when he saves us, puts us to work on his mission. What is that mission? Seek and save that which is lost. Paul says here that this assembly is together to what? Impact their community. He says, we were convicted, or we had the conviction or the confidence in what we was preaching. That's the gospel. He says in verse 5, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be. We became examples. Brother Kirby is an example for me. He loves the Lord. He just loves ministering for the Lord. I love ministering with him. Well, how do you know that? Well, Brother Kirby got up this morning and drove from Salisbury all the way down here. Hey, if he don't love ministering for the Lord, I don't think he would have drove from Salisbury down here. Now, I know Miss Alma got some good cooking at lunchtime, but he could have waited to 12. Amen? Y'all see where I'm going with this? An example. No matter what goes on, Brother Kirby's already been through some things I want, some ups and downs. Brother Jesse has. When I look to them as an example, it not only helps me see how to live, but it also puts them on notice. I'm watching to see if you're imitating Christ. And Paul says, look, I'm thankful that I got to be an example. And I had confidence in the gospel. I was preaching because why? I know that the gospel can change lives because the Holy Spirit uses the gospel to convict people, to save people, to change their life. But he says, guess what? You also got to imitate us. I was an example. You followed my example. Now, when was the last time you wanted somebody to follow your example? Probably not all day long, because we all do some things we're not proud of sometimes, right? But Paul says, hey, I'm thankful. I got to be an example for you. God saved me. I got beat up, and because I got beat up, I got sent to Thessalonica. But when I got there, I got to be an example for you. You know what them people said? You know why I believe the gospel? Look how he believes the gospel. He'll take a whooping for it. Paul says, and you become imitators of us, verse 6, and of the Lord. So it's not that, hey, I got to be just like Jesse. I got to be like Jesse when Jesse's following the Lord. When Jesse knows that I'm imitating him, he's going to try to imitate the Lord more. Then Paul says that not only was I an example and you imitating us, but Here's the result, verse 7, so that you become an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, verse 8, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith towards God has gone forth. And then here's the result, Paul says, so that we have no need to say anything. I don't have to tell people Brother Kirby's a Christian. I can say, he was an example for me. I'm following his example. Is he a good man? I'm like, hide and watch. Just hang around with him a little bit. See his love for the Lord. Same thing with Mike. Same thing with Miss Diana, Miss Joy, all y'all. Miss Elsa, the way she loves children and wants to pour into their life. We know that we're not only examples, but we need to follow an example so that we can become an example. There's always someone more mature in the Lord than us, and we're always more mature in the Lord than somebody else. The Bible calls this discipleship. Jesus says, you are my disciples if what? You love one another. We love by example. And we become examples, others imitate us, and then because they become examples to others, the gospel continues to spread. So we should be thankful that we believe the gospel, that we live the gospel daily, and that we can share the gospel with one another. In verse 9, Paul says that they themselves, he's talking about everybody in the surrounding area of Macedonia and Achaia, he says they report about us what kind of welcome you gave us or reception, and that with you, how you turn to God from idols to serve a living and true God. I'll have to explain that more next week, but what he's talking about, that this idea of turning to God, is the idea of whatever you believed in, that you have let go of the past and repented and turned to God in Christ Jesus and trusted the Holy Spirit to work in your life. The only true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is what he's talking about here. He said you turn from idols, and you turn to the living and true God. What is an idol? Anything that you put your trust in other than God. It could be money. It could be electricity. It could be Facebook. It could be your phone. It could be your neighbor, your wife, your husband. It could be your kids. It could be your car that gives you an identity. Anything that you trust in and trust to help you other than God is an idol. It could be drugs. It could be alcohol. It could be shopping. But in their case, there was all kinds of idols. You had temple worship, you had synagogue worship, and you had emperor worship right there in that one town. They had a lot of things that they could trust in to help them. But Paul says, guess what? You quit trusting in all that, and you trusted in Jesus. And he says, and now, here's the part I love, you wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues you from the coming wrath. As we begin this, I read where he wrote to Timothy, because Timothy's with him here, to let him know in the end days, love grows cold. Jesus says that in Matthew chapter 24, verse 12. Men's love grows cold for one another. Why? They love themselves. But Paul says we can love, we can work faith, and we can have hope, because why? Christ will return. He'll resurrect the dead, rapture the church, and we'll go back to heaven with him. And one day we'll come back, we'll rule for 1,000 years, then he will stomp all evil out, and we'll spend eternity in what? A new heaven and earth. That's the hope. So we can wait with confident expectation that no matter how bad things get from day to day, that Christ is going to return for us. Why? Because he died to give us this life that we're living, and he'll come back and bring that life to completion. Let us pray. If you're here this morning and you've never known that peace that we have in God, it's this simple. You just say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died for me. I know I've not lived the way that would be pleasing to you, the way you wanted me to, and I'm asking you to forgive me this morning. Save me. Forgive my sins, and Lord, take control of my life. Help me live the rest of my life pleasing for you. If you've prayed that, raise your hand this morning. Amen. Amen. If you're here this morning, you've been saved a long time, but your love has grown cold. You it's easy to like and love the people we like, but it's hard to love everybody. But I'm just asking you, we live in such a critical society. Are you judgmental? Are you critical of others? You just rather not to have to deal with them. Ask the Lord just to help you to demonstrate His love through you to these people that you have difficulty with. Might be somebody in your family, somebody you work with. Might be somebody at church. Ask the Lord to let you labor in love. Ask the Lord to let your faith work. In other words, it might be somebody that just really needs some help next week, and you're like, I'm busy. I really don't have time. Say, Lord, help me not miss any opportunities that my faith can work to help others so that I'm serving you. You might just be discouraged and you just think, I just can't go on. Things are never going to get better. Well, you need to be steadfast in your hope. Our hope is that Jesus is going to make all things right, and we can trust in that. Kind Father, we thank you that, Lord, we can look back and Lord, we can just remember and we can see in the present the proof of our salvation, that, Lord, we get the opportunity to be examples to others, that they can imitate us, they can be examples together, that we can all share the gospel. So, Lord, I just pray that you be with us, you guide, you direct us. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, I'm going to ask Jesse if he'll come down. This morning, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper for the church. And in doing that, we want to recommit to Christ. We want to recommit to His mission, and we want to recommit to one another as church members, whether just church members here at Hunt Springs or church members universally. And that's what we want to do this morning. If you will, help me here a minute, Jesse. I'm going to ask Jose if he will to check in the parking lot and see if there's anybody out there. As we do this morning, sterile, I guess is a good word for it. These are individual packets. They was put in here with gloves. The top is clear. So get a hold of the little purple clear. When you pull that off, when we get ready to do it, the wafer will be there. And then when we get ready for the cup, you'll pull off the foil-looking piece, the piece with the big piece of plastic, and just open that, hold it away from you so you don't spill it on you. And that way everything will be clean and sterile that we use this morning. Jesus instituted this on the night before his death on the cross. And Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, and you got to remember that he's writing to Thessalonica while he's at Corinth. He's teaching all this stuff. And as we talk about being examples, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 1, he says, "Be imitators of me just as I am of Christ." Then in verse 33, he says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." So Paul says that this is not just something I come up with. He says, "I received this from the Lord." When you're imitating me, I'm imitating the Lord. The Lord said to do this. This is communion. This shows our relationship with Christ Jesus. He says that the Lord Jesus, in the night on which he was betrayed, took the bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This is the cup that is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." when we take the Lord's Supper, first we want to remember the death of Christ, the gospel, that Christ died for us, the reason that we can be reconciled, be at peace with God, have communion with God, is because Christ died to forgive our sins. Also, Paul says here that Jesus said to remember, this is the new covenant in my blood. Hebrews 9:22 says there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood. Christ shed his blood that we may be forgiven. The new covenant is that we can dwell with God and God will dwell with us. All through the Old Testament, pointing to the new covenant, God says that they will be my people and I'll be their God. That's one of the greatest blessings we have. Verse 26 reminds us that as often as we do this, we're to proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We want to remember our salvation. We want to remember where we've come from. But we also want to remember where we're at today, that we are forgiven, that we are in communion with God and one another. So we want to recommit to Christ, we want to recommit to one another, but also when it talks about proclaiming Jesus' death until he comes, and Paul says in Thessalonians that they wait in hope for the return of Christ. When we are proclaiming the coming of Christ, we are committing to Jesus' mission, which was to share the gospel with the world that is lost and dying. So this morning, as we partake of this, I want us to remember that Christ died for us, that the reason we can live in peace with God is because the Holy Spirit is dwelling with us. But as we live that way, we should be sharing the gospel with others. And by doing this, Paul says that Jesus said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. So as the body of Christ, we come together and we're united with Christ this morning. I'm going to ask Jesse if he'll hand them out. Was it anybody outside, Jose? Okay. All right, Jesse. Jose, did you get one? Jesus says, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat all of it in remembrance of me." Scripture says on the night that Jesus did this, that he gave thanks. Let's give thanks. Let us pray. Kind Father, we thank you for the body of our Lord Jesus Christ. That God, you loved us so much that God became man so that you could die in our place. Lord, we thank you for your sacrifice. That, Lord, you died the death we deserved. That we can live the life of Christ in honor of you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Scripture says that in the same way during the Passover that Christ took the cup and gave thanks for it. Let us pray. Kind Father, we just thank you for the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Jesus says this is the blood of the new covenant. It's the promise that, Lord, not only can we be forgiven, but, Lord, we can be set apart to serve you. And, Lord, we thank you for that gift. Lord, we ask now as we partake of the cup that, Lord, we'd never shame the cross of Christ, that, Lord, we'd learn to labor in love, work in faith, and Lord, that we would endure in hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jesus says, "This is the blood of the new covenant. Take, drink all of it in remembrance of me." Thank y'all for coming today. Brother Kirby is going to close us in another song, and after that, you can be dismissed. Thank you.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved me. mercy reign, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, His word my hope secures. He will my shield, my portion be, as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
Thank y'all. Y'all give him a hand. Thank y'all for being here today. I pray you'll remember to pray for one another this week, and thank God for the gift that we have in salvation. Our offering buckets are the two white buckets, one up here and one back there. If you're going out that way, you can just drop your tithes in there. We appreciate all you're doing to support the church. Want to be sure and welcome y'all back next week and the weeks following. Is it the end of this month when you're going to be back?
The 30th.
Yeah, the 30th. Kirby's
the Bluegrass Gospel. The Bluegrass Band will be on the 30th.
The 30th. Little Joe Snipes and all those guys will be with him, and Joe's wife. And we're just looking forward to that. So y'all be sure and be here on the 30th and bring someone with you. Thank y'all and God bless.